The University of California at Berkeley is modifying a policy intended to protect its campus from SARS. Berkeley announced on Saturday that some 80 students from Hong Kong, China, and Taiwan will be allowed to attend the summer session that begins in 2 weeks. They will be monitored for SARS symptoms when they arrive. Another 500 students from countries affected by SARS will not be allowed to attend a summer course in English as a second language. Dr. David Kessler is dean of the Yale Medical School, former administrator of the Food and Drug Administration, and a Morning Edition commentator. He says public officials around the world have had to make decisions that balance economic and public safety concerns.
The thing that's in the most economic interest in the long run is to take aggressive, appropriate, and sometimes measured public health steps in the beginning. You can always catch up on the economics. But you make a mistake early on. You look at what China has done by not taking aggressive public health steps. That has economic effects much more devastating than anything else they could have done.
Dr. Kessler, sometimes public officials have to make decisions when they don't really have all the details about how severe a problem may be. So how does an official decide what they should tell the public?
You know, anyone can make a decision when they have all the information in front of you. I mean, almost every decision I made when I was in Washington, there was uncertainty. You never have full information. You know, what it comes down to are really good communication, being able to warn at the right moment. I remember I was on the job for only a day, and there was a potential tampering in the Pacific Northwest. I don't know if you'll remember, there was a case of cyanide in Sudafed tablets. And we had one possible case. We went out and we warned locally. Then somebody called in and there was another case. And then through the night we had evidence that there may be a third. And the decision, do we go nationally? Do we warn people to look at their Sudafed tablets? I mean, that really is the crux when you're dealing with a public health emergency. It's the first step. Do you let people know what to look for? I mean, look at the difference of what happened in Toronto and what happened in Loudoun County, Virginia, about SARS. Two hospitals. Toronto, a patient came in with symptoms sometimes we see every day in the emergency room setting. They didn't isolate the patient. A nurse in Loudoun County, similar kind of symptoms, but something went off in her head, and she had heard some reports. She was on notice. She isolated that patient. You had very different outcomes. How to get good information to people so that they can take steps, especially the people who are out there in the field. That's what's critical in a public health crisis, an emergency.
Does history support full disclosure, do you think, to the public, or are there times when keeping some information back might be a wise course in order to prevent panic or mass evacuations of people who are unnecessarily panicked?
You certainly want to hold back inaccurate information. You don't want to go out with things that are wrong. Credibility from the beginning, I mean, is absolutely essential.
What about something like the federal government's handling of the anthrax cases? The government was criticized for the way it did handle that situation, particularly its reluctance to share information with the media. Do those kinds of events cause real damage to public trust in public health institutions?
You know, there was something very good that came out of that. It was a wake-up call. The reason why CDC and Health and Human Services, I think, has done so well about SARS is that we saw how botched the anthrax incidents were. I think lessons were learned. Coordination, focus, and good communication, they're much better today than before anthrax.
Thanks very much, Dr. Kessler.
My pleasure.
Dr. David Kessler is dean of the Yale School of Medicine and former head of the Federal Food and Drug Administration.